Yeah, so I got that email today from the lady that was not really impressed with me. I sent her a message and said thank you for your comments, but I forwarded on to Chris Rowland, who of course was at the feast, and he works at the home office. And I said this was obviously meant for you, because I don't make mistakes. And he sent me a message back and said, well, maybe if you could grow a couple of inches, you'd look a little bit more impressive. So I don't know. I said I'm stopping it right there. I think I've gone far enough on this. There's a scripture in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And you've heard this scripture, read this scripture so many times, and it's totally accurate and something we need to always remember. But I want to take a look at this verse, just one verse out of a section, and then I want to take a look at another verse and go from there. Verse 42 of Matthew 24 says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Now, ever since I started attending church back in the early 70s, I have always heard to watch. We watch news, we watch events, we watch situations, we consider the words of the prophets, and we're to watch. Absolutely, 100% correct. Now, there's another scripture in Ezekiel that's probably familiar to you in Ezekiel 33. Just one verse out of Ezekiel, and again, this is a very familiar scripture. You've read it many, many times, I'm sure. But Ezekiel 33, verse 7, is talking about the watchman and his message. The chapter of Ezekiel is specifically talking about that. And in verse 7, Ezekiel says, and this is the word of God through Ezekiel, saying, so you son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth, and you are to warn them for me. So we're to warn for God what the future holds. So yes, we are to watch. Of course we are to watch. Yes, we're to warn. Yes, of course we're to warn. But there's also a number of important scriptures that also tell us about listening. So if you want a title for the scripture today, it's Listening to God. Yes, we are to watch. Yes, we are to warn. And yes, we are to listen. And how do we listen to what the Bible says? You know, I remember back in, well, it's 1970, because I moved to New Orleans, and the year before, when I was in college, there was a lottery, the first lottery that in my lifetime for the draft. And it was those that were for the Vietnam War. And actually, everybody got a number. And whatever your birth date was, you got a number on the lottery. Now, the higher up in the lottery you were, the more the odds were that you'd be drafted. And obviously, you didn't want to get a real low number unless you wanted to go into the Vietnam War. And I don't know how much I thought about it, to tell you the truth, at the time, other than wanted to know what my number was. But my number, it was either 212 or 216. I don't know. I can't remember which it was. But either way, I wound up far enough down the list that I was not drafted. I had a friend at school that got number two, and I think he went out and had a few drinks that night. But it was not a he was drafted. I mean, no way. He might as well go ahead and join if he was. You know, I wasn't in the church then. He wasn't either. Now, so even though I didn't get drafted, I got called for a physical. And I was in New Orleans, and I remember down on Canal Street, there was a place where we had our physicals, and there was a whole number of men that were going through the physical. And I remember the same day I was going through my physical, a person by the name of Pete Maravich, and if you've ever followed basketball, you would know who Pete Maravich is. He actually was having his physical the same day that I was and others were. And but he was, when they were doing his physical, he had like a little entourage that went around with him, and he failed his physical because of his knees, they said. And yet he was playing professional basketball. So who don't you think he may have known somebody? He fell because of his knees? Well, again, I wasn't in the church then, but I knew that when I was growing up, I used to have a lot of problems with my ears. So I would have earaches and my ear would drain, and I sort of grew out of it for the most part, although I still have it a little bit. But I got a letter from a doctor stating this, thinking that maybe that would help me not be drafted. And I went in, I presented that letter. They could have cared less about that letter. I may as well have just brought in a blank sheet of paper, because there was no way I was going to fail that physical. There was one guy I went to school with. He failed the physical, and they told him, "No, you may as well go home. You won't be alive a year later anyway, the shape you're in." I remember them telling him that, or him telling me they told him that. But I'm sure they were, well, who knows what they were doing. But bottom line is, I couldn't hear that good, and yet I've always had a little bit of hearing issues, but not anything that severe. But how do we listen to God? Well, how do we listen to God? And it's really not that hard if you think about it. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And you're familiar probably with these scriptures in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where it talks about the seven churches of Revelation. Seven physical churches then, probably seven eras, and probably seven spirits. But yet, the point is, notice what it says about each one. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, he's talking about the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? And it says a number of things, and then at the very end of the part about this church of Ephesus, verse 7, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear," or "let him and her." You know, it's not just a male thing. "Let that person hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And then it goes on to say, "To him who overcomes, I'll give to eat from the tree of life, eternal life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Then continue on, verse 8 talks about the church of Smyrna. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but verse 11 says, "He who hath an ear, let him hear what they're telling this church." Verse 12, talking about the church of Pergamos. Verse 17, that church, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Consistently, time after time, it says, listen to what I'm saying here in the Bible. God saying, listen to what I'm telling this church it needs to do. Verse 18, the church of the angel, or the angel of the church of Thyatira, right? And then at the end of that, it says, verse 29, "If you've got an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Chapter 3, going on to Sardis. And of course, at the end of this little section, verse 6, "If you have an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches." It says it each time, to each of these physical congregations, eras, spirits, whatever the case may be, probably all three. Verse 7 of chapter 3, Philadelphia church. Verse 13 talks about it. "If you've got an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And obviously the last one, verse 14, the Laodicean church. Same thing. Verse 22, "If you've got an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So it says, if you've got an ear, listen to what God is telling us. I want to think about this today. Listening to God. Listening to what God's trying to tell us. And how do we listen to God? Well, one of the main ways is by reading the Bible. We talk to God when we pray. But we listen to God when we read the words of the Bible. I had somebody at the feast telling me that they had read through the Bible. They're on their 45th time. And I thought that was really good, 45 times. And yet I know people that haven't read the Bible from adults that haven't read the Bible from start to finish even one time. But yet, if you want to learn the Bible, don't you want to begin at the beginning and read all the way through? I had an aunt, Aunt Mildred, who's no longer alive, and she loved mystery books. And she would always read the end first. And I said, why do you read the end? Because she says, I want to know what happens. I'm thinking, well, wouldn't you want to kind of start at the first and read to the end? But no, she liked to read the end first. So, hey, so be it, if that's what she wants. But let's turn to 2 Timothy. So here's Paul, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy. Notice what he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 13. Hold fast, Paul told Timothy. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words. You know, we had a sermon at the feast from Chris Rowland, actually, on fake news and fake things, where people get up there and say things that aren't correct, that aren't in the Bible, because they feel like they want to have something new. And yet, the Bible never grows old. We don't have to have new things because if it's not correct, why would it be? It's fake if it's not in the Bible. It says, hold fast to the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me, Paul said, in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. It says, hold fast to that. Don't let it go. Hold fast to sound words, which Paul said he was speaking to Timothy. Now, in the same book, chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, beginning in verse 14, it says, but as for you, Paul speaking to Timothy, but as for you, continue in the things you've learned and been assured of. You know, things don't change. I could go back and look at a plain truth from the 1960s. And when you look at a Christian living doctrine, now sometimes, you know, world news and things, we got things wrong from time to time. But when you look at a Christian living, it's just, it's doesn't change. It doesn't change. So it says, continue in the things you've heard and learn from. You know, there are areas that we can disagree on in certain things, but the basic framework of salvation, the basic framework, it doesn't change. But as for you, continue in the things which you've heard and learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them. Paul said, Timothy, I taught you this. Don't let it go. And that from the childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So this Bible is inspired by God. It's not a novel. It's not a book written by men. It's a book inspired by God. Now, it had men write the words in many cases, but it's inspired by God. It's all Scriptures by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Four things there. Why? That the man or woman or child, boy or girl that's growing in the ways of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So all Scripture. Paul said, remember what you heard from him. What you heard from him. Remember what you heard from God. Now, when we read a book, like I said, when we watch a movie or see a book, it has a pattern. Now, how many books have I read in my lifetime that, I mean, I've read, I can't even put a figure on how many books I've read. I've always enjoyed nonfiction even better than fiction. Not that you have to always read nonfiction, but I've always enjoyed nonfiction, but I enjoy fiction sometime. But when I've read all the books I've read, there are very, very few books I've ever wanted to read a second time. Because there's so many books, I think, well, I've read that one, let me go to the next one. Now, I'll refer to things sometimes, but the Bible never grows old, does it? The Bible never grows old. Every time you read the Bible, you'll learn more and more and more. And yet, somehow people seem to think sometimes if you've read the Bible once, that's all you really need to read it. Well, why would it be that way? When you hear sermons over and over and hear this, you get different points of view, but yet it still sticks with the plan of God. The Bible is the only book that I know of that you can read over and over and it never grow old, because it's God's word. It's like God talking to you and to me. The Bible has accounts of law, of wisdom, of prophecy, of history. It even has accounts of God having conversations with human beings like Adam and Eve, like Abraham, like Moses and others. And in the New Testament, we actually have the record of Jesus Christ speaking and teaching. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have the words of Jesus Christ, God, in the flesh, the Word of God. So in reading Scripture, we're able to listen to God's words. Now let's turn to Proverbs. Let's turn and read much of the first chapter of Proverbs, because I have always felt this was very, to me, very inspiring. I used to always, a lot of times on Friday night, would have a Bible study. I would have my children, my boy, and my daughter and my son, and I'd go to Proverbs a lot, and sometimes they would say, oh, why do we always have to have Proverbs? Why don't we do something else? But I figured they could use a little more on the Proverbs, as we all could. But verse 1, the very first chapter of Proverbs, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon. You know, the wisest man in the world sometimes acted like the dumbest man in the world, did he not? But he had the wisdom God gave him when he used it. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. Notice what the reason for the Proverbs was. To know wisdom. This is why he wrote Proverbs. This is why God put Proverbs in the Bible. To know the wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Keeps talking about wisdom over and over again. Justice, judgment, equity. This is what the words of Proverbs teach us. If we grab those little nuggets, a little one verse sometimes can tell you so much to think about. To give prudence to the simple. Well, yet, when you don't understand something, it's not that you're bad per se. You don't know it. You haven't been taught it. So it gives prudence to the simple. To the young man or young woman, knowledge, discretion. The wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will obtain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma. Sometimes you don't have to try to dig deep into those verses to see what it's all saying. The words of the wise and their riddles. But here is the bottom line, verse 7. The fear of the Lord. Fearing God. Obeying God when we learn things. That's the beginning of knowledge. That's where we start learning knowledge. That's where we start understanding what these nuggets of gold are all about. But fools, it says, they despise wisdom. They despise instruction. They think, why would I want to read the Bible? And yet, the fastest growing religion in the world has a totally different book, the Muslim religion, and they call that wisdom? No. My son, it says, verse 8, or my daughter, or my child, hear the instruction of your father. And who's our father? God is our father. Now we have physical fathers. We have physical mothers. You know, my physical father's no longer alive. My physical mother is in very poor health. But yet, I have and you have a spiritual father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, it says. For they will be graceful ornaments on your neck, on your head, and chains about your neck. It says, listen to God's instructions. Verse 10, my son, again, or my daughter, if sinners entice you, don't consent. Why? Because it isn't going to go well. It isn't going to go well when you get out of the way. Let's drop down to verse 20. Talking about wisdom again. Wisdom calls aloud outside. You know, it's comparing wisdom to a person, but wisdom is God's word, God's knowledge. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. at the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones? You know, it's people are just wandering around. They don't understand. It's saying, how long are you going to take to listen? How long, you simple ones? Will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. They don't seem to understand what knowledge can bring them. Turn at my reproof or my correction. Surely, this is like wisdom talking through God is talking. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. But we've got to listen to them. We've got to take the time to read it, to ask God to help us understand. Because, verse 24, because I have called and you refused. How many people God might call and they say, I don't have time for that. I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel is what wisdom is saying, which is God talking. Now, none of us always use our wisdom, do we? But God is the source of all wisdom. And yet, sometimes we look at this and don't totally understand how important it is. You would have none of my reproof. Verse 26. So I'll also laugh at your calamity. Not in a ha-ha way, but it's like, hey, you wouldn't listen. So this is what you're going to have to deal with till you're corrected. I'll mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, when everything is caving in and destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me. Oh God, I'm sorry. Take care of everything. Take care of all these problems. Then they will call on me, but I won't answer, is what God is saying. Now, he loves everybody, and everybody will be have their mind opened at some point, but some people refuse to even let the little crack in when God may be calling them. And yet, some people, God is waiting for the proper time. But when God calls you, if you refuse, this is going to be the result. We're going to have some trials, situations that aren't good. Of course we have trials if you're in the church. Jerry Hoskin is going through a horrible trial. And I spoke with Jerry and Carolyn the other day for a fair amount of time. And it's hard. And Jerry's tired of all the pain, and Carolyn of all the stress. And yet, I know some other things, what some other people have been willing to do to help them, which I'll just keep private. But I'm telling you something, there's some good people in the Church of God that are willing to help out. And it really is encouraging when you see things like this. But I'll just keep that private. Then they will call on me, but I won't answer. They'll seek me diligent, but they'll not find me. Because they hated knowledge. They didn't want God's knowledge. They didn't choose to fear the Lord. How do you fear God? Fearing God is obeying Him. None of us do it as well as we could, but we need to work at it and strive. God says we can listen or we can fight it. But fortunately, or unfortunately, so many people fail to listen. Now, when we speak to someone else in a conversation, what do you tend to do? Because I am not good at this. So I'll just say this ahead of time sometimes. When you talk to somebody, how often are you thinking about what you're going to say as a response? I know I do that sometimes. I think, well, let's see here. I wish they'd be quiet where I could tell them what they need to do before I even hear what the problem is sometimes. I mean, you could talk to my wife. She can explain that sometimes I don't listen as well as I could, but I'm learning a little bit. But I remember one time a company I used to work for, and we had this manager's name was Dan. He was from New York City, and he lived in Miami. So right off the bat, Dan from New York, living in Miami, and he was Jewish, which is just the point. But Dan was a pretty tough guy. And I was a little bit afraid of Dan, as a lot of other people were, but we had our reviews one year, and we all had to go down and have a review about how we're doing, and Dan reviewed me, and it was going pretty good. I was really pretty happy. He was saying a lot of nice things about me, but he said, "But I have one thing I want to tell you. You don't listen well." I don't remember any of the good things he said. All I remember is he said, "I don't listen well." And he was probably right. Well, I'm sure he was right. He said, "Sometimes you just don't listen well." Well, I can tell you right now, there are people that don't listen to me when I'm trying to help them, when I'm trying to give them, they've got their mind made up. They're going to tell me what needs to be done. They don't care what I think. And yet, I look at myself and I see I have this fault sometimes, more than I like to think about. But good listening skills include listening to comprehend not just what you're going to say for a response. It's trying to comprehend what they're saying, what they're thinking, what may be bothering them. I had to do several, well, not several, but I had some counseling sessions at the feast. People contacted me and wanted to talk to me about things. Well, you know, I don't look forward to talking to people about their trials and problems, but that's what that's part of my job. And I had a couple serious situations that I had to deal with and talk about and try to get a grasp on what was happening in their life. And it's not pleasant. I love it when everything's going well. But yet in life, it doesn't always work that way. But the more I can learn to listen, not just think what I'm going to tell them before I heard all the facts. And sometimes you don't get the facts even. But you learn, try to listen. In fact, Proverbs 18, just one verse here, a little nugget of gold, like so often Proverbs are. Verse 13 of Proverbs 18 says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it." Well, they may have heard a little bit, but before you hear the whole story and you hear what's on their mind, what's bothering them, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and a shame to him. I can give you all the answers in the world, but if I don't know what's going on, how do I know it's good advice?" It works that way for all of us. It's so easy to be able to tell somebody how to do something when we don't even know all the facts necessarily. And rumor can just go wild. I mean, sometimes something, you've heard the story, like about 10 people sit around a circle and one whispers something, the next one, by the time it's supposed to go around the room, by the time it gets all the way around, it's so different. And yet rumor can just run wild. And you think, where did this come from? And sometimes I may know the facts, and I may not tell the facts because it's personal information. Somebody will tell me something. It's private information. And I'm not supposed to let private information out. And I don't. That's one thing I can say. I try to always keep something private, private. I don't even tell Penny things sometimes when people talk to me. Not because she would spread it, but it's private. I had a situation at the feast when somebody told me all types of stuff. And I told Penny a little bit, but not all the details. Because it's private. And if somebody tells me something private, if I start spreading it out, what am I doing? I'm not listening. That's what I'm not doing. I'm not listening to what the person told me. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. Let's look at Jesus Christ's example. Luke chapter 2. Again, I wish this was all kumbaya and everybody loved everybody all the time. Wouldn't that be a wonderful world? Well, the kingdom of God is not here yet. But yet, we can do our part. We can do our part if we think and use common sense and use confidentiality. Luke 2. Here is probably the best example in the Bible of Jesus Christ's young life. Not when he was a baby, but it's the only real example we really see. It's in verse 41 of Luke 2. Luke 41 of Luke 2. His parents, Jesus' parents, went up to Jerusalem every year to the Passover, Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, was 12 years old. They went up to Jerusalem to the Feast of the Passover. They went up there according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned. So obviously, it would appear that it was the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. It would appear. And when they had finished the days, because it says days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother didn't know it. But they supposed him to be in the company. So they went a day's journey and they sought him among the relatives and the acquaintances and they couldn't find him. And when they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem seeking him. They were obviously worried about their son. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they were probably getting rather panic-stricken at this time. After 3 days, they found him in the midst of the temple. What was he doing? He was sitting in the midst of the teachers, notice, both listening and asking them questions. 12-year-old. Jesus, the Son of God, listening and asking them questions. And all who heard him, they were astonished at his understanding and answers. He was listening. When we read our Bibles, if we really want to understand, we need to ask ourselves questions and look things up and study it, not just surface reading. If we don't have questions, maybe are we really studying it properly? Proverbs 15, one more proverb. Proverbs 15, on the subject of listening to God. No one does it perfectly. I fail in so many ways, but it's a lifelong process for all of us. Verse 28, I've got this highlighted, so somewhere along the line I must have thought this was a specially important verse. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. We don't always know all the facts, do we? The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The righteous studies how to answer things. Let's turn to Job. The book of Job, chapter 32. I was telling a bunch of folks at the feast in different settings and so forth that about, you know, so much about some of the kids here that go to camp. That was not a cop, but that was a, I don't know what that was, but, and how much fun it is to talk to them. And I remember when we, at Camp Woodman, going back, there were 4 of them wanted to ride with me. 2 of them are right here. And 2 of them are still in Lake Tacoma, I guess, or Texoma, or whatever it is. And Ava, she said, "Don't worry, Mr. Martin. You have nothing to worry about. I'm going to stay awake the whole time, and I'll talk to you the whole time." And she did, except for maybe a little bitty break when you fell asleep for about 10 minutes, and I started coughing, and I woke you up. But I love talking to Ava and Elena and Serenity and Ailey. And others, but it's fun to talk and listen and see what's on their mind. And they saved me some money in that place where we stopped to get gas. They told that woman this is on sale. And she said, no, it's not. And they said, it's on sale. And they said, she said, no, it's not. And one of them, I don't remember which one, said, you come back here, let me show you. And they took that woman back to the counter, and the woman said, okay, you can have it for half price. She just got, the woman just gave up. My women stood up for me. My girls, I should say, stood up for me. And I told them, buy anything you want in the store. Now, that's kind of a dangerous thing to say. And the whole bill was $7.50, and four of it was for me. How did you do it? Because they were caring and thinking. Now, lest you get too conceited, you're not perfect. I'll talk to you about that later. No, I love those girls. They're wonderful, and guys, and others. Job 32. Now, here was Job. His three friends were talking to Job and telling Job all these things they need to do. And they were just going on about, they didn't know what they were talking about. And this Elihu steps up. Verse 1 of chapter 32. So these three men, when they cease talking, answering Job, well, then this Elihu steps forward, E-L-I-H-U. And he didn't have it all together, but he was pretty smart in some ways. Verse 6, Elihu, the son of the Buzite, answered and said, I'm young in years. So he was younger than these other three men. And you're very old. Therefore, I was afraid. I dared not declare my opinion to you. He wanted to let the elder speak first. I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. There's a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise. Look at our government. Are all our senators and congressmen and leaders always wise? Well, obviously not. Great men are not always wise, nor are the aged always understanding justice. So just because we have age doesn't make us smart necessarily. Proverbs again, final proverb, Proverb 2. Sort of following on to what was said in Proverbs 1 as we have the chapters laid out. Notice verse 1 of chapter 2 of Proverbs. My son or my daughter, either one, if you receive my words, if you treasure my commands, God's ways, if you treasure them within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom, God's way is wisdom. But yet the world would make you think it's the wrong way. It says, my way is wisdom. If you apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment. Man, isn't it wonderful when you meet somebody that's just got basic common sense. If you lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver. If you search for her as for hidden treasures. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. Fearing God isn't a scary thing. It's the thing that will cause your life to go better. Again, we all stumble and fall at times. But the closer we stick to God, the more life is going to work better. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Where did it come from? From God. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice. He preserves the way of His saints. Then if we do these things, we'll understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. The Lord God gives us the wisdom. Now let's turn back to some parables. We're not going to read the parables, but let's turn back to Matthew 13. Where there's a set of parables. A set of parables. And notice how Jesus approached this. In verse 1 of Matthew 13, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together. All these people wanted to hear from him. Great multitudes were gathered together, so that he got into a boat and he sat, and the whole multitude, they stood on the shore, and he spoke many things. He spoke many things to them in parables. And he said, behold, a sower went out to sow. And he gives this long parable. And he gives the entire chapters we have it, or parable after parable after parable. Now, verse 10. After he had given the parable about the sower, the disciples came to him. Not the multitudes, his disciples. His disciples came to him. And they ask him, why do you speak to them in parables? Why are you speaking to all this crowd in parables? And notice what Jesus said. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you, disciples. Now, these disciples didn't know everything. They learned as they went along, but he was opening their mind. Whereas a lot of these people were just novelty seekers, just there for whatever. Saw the miracles and saw whatever was going on. The disciples came, they asked him. He said, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it hasn't been given. It doesn't mean they were horrible necessarily. They had not had their minds opened. Now, when he opened their mind, and when he opens your mind, when you start to see things and you understand it and you believe it, the question then is, are we going to do it? Or are we going to say, no, don't need to do that. No, that's not important. No, it doesn't matter. That is where we have a serious problem. If God is opening our mind to something and we see it, but say, nope, we're not going to do it because it's going to be going to cramp my style or whatever too much. For whoever has, to him more will be given. So as you learn, God teaches you more. And there are areas that we could see things in more than one direction in certain ways. I'm not saying that I understand perfectly everything. I don't. But you grow and you understand the basic framework of things. I know the Sabbath is holy, for instance. I know the holy days are holy, for instance. And he says, for him who is, or her, more will be given. And he'll have abundance. But whoever doesn't have, even what he has will be taken away. So when you don't try to grasp what God is giving you, then he'll eventually say, well, they're not interested. He said, therefore I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they don't see. Hearing, they don't hear, they don't understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Hearing, they will hear, but they won't understand. The words will go out, but they aren't really listening. And seeing, they'll see, but they don't perceive. They may read the words, but they don't think about it and grow. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they've closed. They don't want to see it sometimes, is what I'm saying. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their heart and turn. And I'd heal them, he said. But you've got to listen, is what he's telling them. In fact, let's look at verse 51 at the end of these parables. Jesus said to them, to all these people that heard these parables, have you understood all these things? And their answer was, yes, Lord, yeah, we know everything there is to know. And he said, well, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things old and new. Do you really understand? Look at verse 53. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues. And they were astonished. But what happened? They were astonished. And they said, where did this man get this knowledge, this wisdom, and these mighty works? Well, you could say, oh, well, look, they're coming around. But notice what it continues to say. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary's, his mother? And isn't James and Joseph and Simon and Judas his brothers and his sisters? Are they not with us? Where did this man get all these things? And then the capper is the next verse. They were offended at him. They didn't think he was, who's he to tell us? We're the teachers, we're the rulers, we're the king, the priest. They were offended at him. Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, his own house, and he did not do many works. Why? Because they didn't believe. So God is only speaking, in a sense, to those he calls. He will call all mankind at the proper time. But when he calls, do we dig in and listen and grow? Or do we just say, nope? Because when you understand and you reject it, that's a serious situation. A very serious situation. Now let's sort of head toward a conclusion here. Romans chapter 11. I had all these people telling me they're coming to Tampa, so we'll see. I know Dan Dowd and his family are coming in December. Mr. Kubik said he was coming. Chris Rowan said he was coming. John Miller said he was coming. And Ken Martin said he was coming. So we'll see. We'll see who I can believe and who's just telling me that to make me feel good. But I think some of them are going to come, not all at once, hopefully, because our house is only so, our house can only keep two at a time. But I was glad they wanted to come. I was glad they went. We had a wonderful feast in Tampa. I'm sure you did too, but we had a wonderful feast in Jekyll Island. But in Romans chapter 11, here's Paul. He said, has God cast away his people? He's talking about his fellow Israelites, physical Israel. He said, certainly not. For I'm an Israelite, Paul said. I'm of the seed of Abraham. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. God hasn't cast away his people, he said. Do you not know? The scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, and then God says, I've got 7,000 more to Elijah. There were more out there. Look at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled, the Israelites, that they should fall? Is God through with Israel, physical Israel? He said, certainly not, but through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation's come to the Gentiles. You know, it says, the church is the Israel of God in Galatians. Now, if they fall, you know, if they fell away for a while and God didn't, they lost the point. If their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness when all of Israel starts coming to the truth of God? Verse 25, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery of the truth of God, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that hardening in part has happened to Israel, that until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. God isn't through with physical Israel. Concerning the gospel, verse 28, they're enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they're beloved for the sake. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God is going to call all mankind, physical Israel, and at the proper time. But when he calls, do we listen? Or do we just turn away from what he's trying to tell us to do? Isaiah 6, and then there's a couple more scriptures. Isaiah 6. Verse 9 of Isaiah 6. Notice what Isaiah was told, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but don't understand, because they wouldn't listen. The word was going to keep going out, but were they willing to listen? Keep on seeing, but don't perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. God is calling people at the proper time. Only God can call. You know, we could spend millions of dollars, but if God's the one that calls, but then when he calls a person, do they listen? So we focused over the years, and rightly, on watching. We focus over the years on being ready and being a watchman and correctly. But we also need to focus on listening to what God tells us. It's all the same in a sense. But we need to be hearing and understanding and doing God's words. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Verse 11 of Amos 8, you'll know this scripture probably, and yet I'm sure this was talking about at that time, and also as we head toward the end of this society and this system, world system. Verse 11, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I'll send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. Do we realize how fortunate we are that we can listen on the radio and listen to this? But we have our Bibles and we have all these things going on. But God said we could lose that. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they won't find it. So God can put a clamp on it. But it's all, no matter how he handles this, God is the one who calls, and God is the one who saves, and all mankind can do is just do the best they can. Mr. Kubik talked to me a while back, and he said, man, we're trying all these things. We want to just do everything we can, and sometimes we just don't really know for sure what to do, but we want to just be a profitable servant. And do the best we can with what we've got, with the money we have. And yet, we'll just see, God knows what's going on. God knows what's happening. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 22. Verse 6 and 7. Very end of the Bible, the Apostle John saw these visions. Right there in the Bible, verse 6, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. This angel said this to John. The Bible, Revelation, the entire Bible, it's faithful, it's true. There are no lies in the Bible. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place, which we saw in Revelation. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed with he keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Verse 10 and 11. And he said to me, this angel said to John, don't seal the words of this prophecy. Don't seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You know, a day to God is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. God doesn't see time the way we see it. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. We strive. The time is at hand. God says, take it serious. Listen. Listen to God's word. Read God's word. Think about God's word. Make sure we're properly dissecting God's word. Don't come out on things that aren't in the truth. I mean, Basically, God says, just listen. Listen. You and I, we need to be listening. So we'll have that about 10 minutes after class, back in the classroom. Any of you that want to go back there, we'll just take a little time and talk.